Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about the development of self-regulation skills, and we're going to pull from a couple of different articles, and of course the links are in the show notes. But we'll begin with a discussion of sort of when self-regulation begins to develop, and surprisingly, it's very early.
Surprisingly early. We used to think it was around school age, you know, four or five. Now researchers have moved it back to almost, well, it actually starts during infancy.
Right.
Okay. And we've talked about that a few times, about getting children. We talk about it in our book, Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, that you have to teach children how to regulate. You have to teach infants how to regulate. Mm-hmm. And it's especially important for sleep.
Right. Okay?
Because many of us, and I did this with my children, we rock our children to sleep and then put them in the crib. If they stay asleep, that's fine, it works. If they don't stay asleep and you pick them up too soon, you deny them the ability to learn how to soothe themselves. So self-regulation really begins during infancy.
Right.
As soon as you bring the baby home from the hospital, you have to start teaching self-regulation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the other aspects of self-regulation that we think about really starts in earnest during after the first birthday, you know, from 12 to 18 months or so, kids are starting to really work to develop some of that self-regulation. And of course, this is when we're sort of easing up to the terrible twos, and some of those kinds of issues begin to emerge. And so we work really hard during those years to make sure that our kids understand and have the ability to self-regulate.
Right. After about 15 or 18 months, and then moving into that two to three year zone when we get into the terrible twos, two big things happen. One is that you have this ability to communicate verbally.
Right.
You know, prior to age, you know, 9 or 12 months, kids don't really understand what is being said to them. You can't use a lot of language to influence behavior. But after 18 or 24 months, then you can really negotiate things verbally with most children.
Now,
some children, you have to remember, they're having language difficulties, receptive language problems. It may take a little bit, it may happen a little bit later, and it may be more difficult. But for most kids, you can start using language. The second thing that happens, of course, is that terrible twos or threes, where kids start to resist more openly. But all that is that's not really disobedience or misbehavior. That's simply their desire to be more independent. So there's going to be a shift at about age two. And so the teaching self-regulation for that toddler is a very different task than the 12-month or 18-month-old.
Exactly, exactly. And then, you know, and as we've also talked about in previous podcasts, you know, as kids develop and they're approaching school age, it's critical that they learn to regulate their emotions from the perspective of being able to play with others and take instructions from others, and to understand that certain behaviors are okay in one setting and other behaviors are okay in other settings. And you know, it's during this period that parents use things like inside voice and
indoor voice
and those kind of things, because I mean, what you're basically saying is regulate yourself, recognize your setting, and behave based upon what the context of your current setting.
And we've said here, we've said it in our books, we've said it in our presentations and our workshops, that the parent's job from birth to five is to get that child ready for kindergarten. So by age five, and we've said this many times, they should be able to play well with other kids. That's self-regulation. They should be able to clean up their own messes and do things they really don't want to do. Okay,
that's self-regulation.
Right, and that's self-regulation. And they should be able to, they should no longer have any temper tantrums. You know, the temper tantrums were a normal part of 2 or 3 year old. Now those should be gone. So all the stuff that we want for kindergarten, is about self-regulation, because mm-hmm. when, and you mentioned one that I didn't mention, but I think I have to put in to my workshops, is being under stimulus control,
right.
some form of stimulus control,
right?
Where, because when the teacher says it's time to stop working and line up,
mm-hmm.
a child has to do that,
right?
Because if they don't do it, they're going to get in trouble in school. I don't
right.
care what school they're in,
right?
When it's time for the group to go, everybody has to line up and go. And
mm-hmm.
if a child can't respond appropriately to those kinds of instructions, that kid's going to have problems.
Right.
Okay. And you don't want to put your children in that situation. So being under stimulus control, I think, mm-hmm. may be the fourth thing that we should accomplish by age five.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we really think about sort of socialization, which is, you know, as you continue to expand
right.
the net of mm-hmm. self-regulation, it certainly includes socialization, meaning right. that you're able to, you know, deal with frustration caused right. by somebody else. Again,
right.
that stimulus control,
mm-hmm.
To be able to take instructions from people, right. whether you like that person or not,
right.
whether that person, you know, is an important, perceived as an important person
right.
in your life or not.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that needs to happen by about, you know, third grade,
that's
8
right.
years old or
that's
so.
That's right. By the end of third grade, about the time the child is about 8 years old, they should be able to regulate their emotions,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that if somebody makes you angry, it's okay to be angry, but you
mm-hmm.
can't have a temper tantrum. You
right.
can't start throwing and breaking and hitting and
right.
biting and punching. And so there has to be some emotional, you
mm-hmm.
have to be able to regulate your emotions.
Right.
And if you can't, there are experts today who believe that if a child cannot regulate his or her emotions by the end of third grade, they're not going to be able to do it. It's going to be a chronic problem.
Right.
So that's something to think about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the last, you know, as it relates to childhood,
right.
the last big hallmark is as they approach adolescence, you know, in middle school years, and that's when, by that time, they need to be able to self-regulate life, basically.
They
need to be able to take care of themselves. They need
exactly.
to be able to feed themselves. And
you know, we typically say by the end of third grade, we said earlier, be able to regulate your emotions. You also should be able to keep track of your
mm-hmm.
belongings,
right?
Your assignments, your homework, your books, your pencils. You should be able to manage all that stuff, because by the time you get to middle school,
mm-hmm.
you should be in charge of your own education.
Right.
Parents shouldn't need to be so involved.
Right.
And in fact, parents, by the time a child hits puberty or around sixth grade, parents should begin the process of detachment parenting,
mm-hmm.
Backing up a
right.
little bit. And you have to stop hovering, you have to stop being a helicopter parent,
mm-hmm.
you have to manage
mm-hmm.
expectations, and you should sort of be backing out of your child's life so that your child has the opportunity
right.
to develop these abilities.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to, well, at this point now, we're going to kind of shift into some of the factors that help
right.
contribute to that happening, but also contribute to problems with that, because sometimes in
True.
You know, kids aren't ready in middle school to do that. And
right.
and there are particular reasons why that may
mm-hmm.
be.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that we think about that, because I think that what happens a lot of times is parents will hear exactly what we're talking about.
Right.
And so they'll hold their kids to those expectations, but not recognize that their child may have some factors or some characteristics
That's
or traits
right. mm-hmm.
that limit their ability to do that.
Right.
And so then the kid's sort of left out there to flounder,
mm-hmm.
and then they get zapped.
Right.
For not
right.
self-regulating, not taking care of their own
mm-hmm.
business, and you know, they're getting in trouble for not doing those things that maybe they can't.
They
do.
They can't do. You're talking about temperament now,
right?
Well,
we're talking temperament, and well, we're going to talk about biology a little
right.
bit too.
That's right. The
mm-hmm.
biology of all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a couple of things that we need to think about
mm-hmm.
that go into the development of self-regulation.
Right.
And let's just start with biology, because we've talked about infancy, early childhood, school age, adolescence, you know, as we're going through those time frames, those developmental stages,
right.
they're not just arbitrary. We didn't
right.
just make those up
yeah.
to say, okay,
right.
by about this age because of terrible twos, or about
mm-hmm.
this age because you're starting school, oh,
right.
then middle school, you know. We didn't come up with those out of nowhere. Those time frames indicate or specify or identify particular times in development where the brain is changing pretty considerably.
That's right. We talk about the terrible twos or the terrible threes. Well, as it turns out, at age 2.5, you have this explosion of new neurons.
Okay? Right.
And so that's what creates the terrible two. They don't come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
They come out of this, children develop these new neurons. They grow, they produce these new neurons, which give them increased abilities. You know, a one-year-old can't ride a bicycle,
mm-hmm.
but a five-year-old can. A five-year-old can because they got the neurons for it at 2.5.
Right.
And so they have these new neurons and they want to use them naturally.
Right.
Okay? So that's why they become more independent. That's why it seems like they're being irascible and difficult mm-hmm. and opposite. They're not. They're simply saying, wait a minute, I can do this myself now.
Right. And remember, initially, you have these new neuronal connections that are mm-hmm. happening, and they want to use them, but right. they don't know how.
Right.
That's so
right.
so they're making mistakes and they're pushing boundaries yeah. and they have to know where the limits are.
Mm-hmm.
And so they take their independence too far
right.
and they wander away from their parent in the store.
Sure.
It's not because they're unruly.
Wrong with them
it's because yeah. they're trying to figure out, okay, how do I use these these connections? What is okay and what's not okay?
I can, so I do.
Right.
Okay. Then it's the parent's job to sort of set some boundaries here.
Right.
You know, and then we said earlier that we go up to age 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens at age 8? Well, all these neurons have grown, and now all the connections have been made, and then the process stops at about age 8.
Right.
Okay? So yes, by age 8, this stuff should have happened because those neurons, is every kid going to be there at age 8? No.
No.
But by and large, for most of us, these connections are made by about age 8 or 9.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then what happens in middle school?
Nothing.
Puberty.
That's the quiet period. Well, what happens in fourth or fifth grade?
Right, right.
That's the quiet grade. Period.
Right.
Freud called that latency, okay?
Right.
Because nothing seems to be happening. Well, there's a great deal happening. It's just not happening outward. It's happening
right.
in our brains. And then
right.
we have...
And then in middle school, we have puberty.
Puberty.
Puberty
right.
hits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another explosion of...
That's the second time it occurs.
Stuff
right.
in the
well,
brain.
Now you have neurons and neurochemicals. Okay?
Right.
So now you have an explosion of new neurons, but you also have this tsunami of brain
mm-hmm.
chemicals,
right.
the hormones that we hear so much about.
Right.
And the problem with these hormones is that, as luck would have it, or as nature would have it in his or her infinite wisdom, is that you produce far more than you need.
Right.
And then over time... they reduce until you get to the right amount.
Right.
But while you're producing too much,
mm-hmm.
it has pretty significant effects on most of us.
Right. And it's the same thing. That is the same thing that happens with neurons.
Right.
We have more neurons than we need.
Right.
And so we have to figure out how the connections work, and some are pruned away and
mm-hmm.
the others are strengthened. So
right.
so this process through brain development
mm-hmm.
matches very nicely with exactly what we're talking
right.
about as far as expectations mm-hmm. with self-regulation.
Exactly.
So the brain is heavily involved
mm-hmm.
in the way in which we think about
that's right.
self-regulation skills. The second thing is temperament.
Right.
You know, I was talking to a group the other day, and we were talking about personality, and I was sharing with them that, you know, we don't think about personality until somebody reaches, you know, adulthood,
right.
basically 18
mm-hmm.
or so. But the roots of personality
right.
it happens at birth.
Very,
I mean,
right.
this is,
mm-hmm.
a child is born with a particular temperament. Don't believe me, any of you who have parents, well, if you're a parent, then you do believe me because
if you have
you know,
more than one child,
right?
You know that there's a difference.
Because you have one kid, you bring him home,
mm-hmm.
and they can be the easiest kid
right.
ever. You know, it sets to a
That's
schedule
right.
perfectly. They adjust and adapt perfectly. Then you have the second kid who doesn't. And you're doing everything exactly the same.
Everything is the same, same gene, same everything, right?
But this one is more difficult.
Right.
They don't regulate very well. They are mm-hmm. they are cranky and irritable and
right.
easily agitated.
Yeah, years and years ago, back in the 50s, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it, that Bowlby did
right.
those original studies? And he said, well, some kids have a difficult temperament and
mm-hmm.
some kids have an easy temperament.
Mm-hmm.
I had parents in last week who said, oh, no, this baby's been sleeping this way since about the second or third week.
Mm-hmm.
that's wonderful. That's an easy temperament, okay? Right. But other children don't sleep that well. They don't seem to be able to regulate as well. Well, that's their basic temperament,
right?
Okay,
right.
And they're bringing that. And so, if your child has an easy temperament, getting to self-regulation may not be a too much of a challenge.
Right.
If your child has a difficult temperament, getting to self-regulation is going to require a little more work.
Yeah, absolutely. And so temperament is the second factor. Now the third factor is actually has subcategories.
Yes.
And so this has to do with the environment. And so, of course, we're going to have nature, the biology, the brain, to some extent, temperament is nature, and then nurture, the environment.
The other half. Right.
And they interplay. To go along with temperament, we often think about parenting style.
Right.
And we think about this thing called goodness of fit. The way in which the parenting style matches or works with the child's temperament.
That's right. Because if a child has a difficult temperament and a parent wants to have control, you may have a mismatch.
You're in for a battle.
And you're going to be in for a battle. Mm-hmm. My guess is the kid's going to win.
Right.
Okay.
In the long term.
And Barry Brazelton talked about that. We talked about it in terms of colic and said that colic is a result of this temperamental mismatch.
Right.
And so you have temperament can be difficult to easy, and parenting styles can, there are three or four parenting styles.
Yeah.
And if they don't align, child rearing could be a difficult challenge.
Absolutely.
For the parents and the children.
Absolutely. Now, another environmental factor besides parenting style, of course, are like socioeconomic issues. So poverty. We know that poverty has a profound effect on self-regulation skills, but the development of emotional expression and behavioral presentation.
You know what I didn't know, and I discovered this while doing these. There have been numerous studies where children who have been moved from privileged environments to underprivileged environments, a loss of a job or a loss of a spouse or something. And so you go from privileged to underprivileged. And conversely, kids who have gone from an underprivileged environment to a privileged environment, the studies are very clear that going from privileged to underprivileged, less self-regulation. Mm-hmm. Going from underprivileged to privileged increases self-regulation.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what the contribution of poverty is to self-regulation, but it's fairly clear that there's some relationship between poverty and self-regulation.
Right.
I'm not sure what it is, but there's a clear connection between the two.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, another environmental contributing factor to the development of self-regulation is internalization.
Right.
You know, when we've talked many times and given many examples of how parents can teach kids self-regulation skills, and then how kids will then internalize those self-regulation skills. And so, you know, if you are working on something and it's frustrating you, instead of throwing your tools down and stomping away, which your kid will internalize, if you say, I'm really getting frustrated right now, I'm going to take a break for a couple of minutes and come back and work on it again.
Exactly. I think I'll stop now.
Yeah.
You know, and just take a break. And you verbalize that within the presence of your child. Mm-hmm. Well, your child's going to model that behavior.
Right.
If you start throwing tools around, cursing and swearing and throwing things, your child's going to model that behavior.
Right.
So the behavior you want your children to exhibit is the behavior that you should display.
Right. And this is especially true early in their life.
That's right.
They're going to see that. And then they're going to model that, or you're modeling that. They're going to mimic that, and then that's what they're going to internalize.
That's right. And so they internalize what you model, and they internalize what you say.
Right.
Okay. We talked about that earlier, that they're going to say things like, no, 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 that's a bad. And that's what parents need to be doing from birth to five. That's how you get your children ready for kindergarten, because right. your children are going to internalize what you have modeled and what you have said.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the next one is one that we're going to mention, but we need to do a lot more looking right. into this one. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with ethnicity.
Ethnicity, right.
There are very interesting differences mm-hmm. between the self-regulation skills of kids, within kids, from different areas of the world.
And I have to tell you that there are even fMRI studies that have been done mm-hmm. on this. And I just don't know enough about this area yet. We do know that children from Eastern cultures, mm-hmm. Korea, Singapore, China, tend to do better mm-hmm. in school.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is self-regulation. They're trained differently. They're raised differently. The expectations are different. I just don't know that literature well enough, but there's something happening right. with how children are raised
yeah.
and what the expectations
are. I don't know that there's been that much research on it.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So we have to find out, because I know there are differences. There was a study done with fMRI that showed that American children raised in a traditional American home, when they were shown pictures mm-hmm. or when they were given a command, that certain areas of their brains would light up, mm-hmm. would become active, whereas children from China, different areas of the brain mm-hmm. would, right. which means that over time,
yeah.
they're producing different responses
yeah.
to something, and I just don't know what it is, but
yeah.
it's going to be a fascinating question. Why some cultures, how yeah. how cultures raise children differently.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then the final area is school.
School.
You know, the way in which the school is mm-hmm. run, the right. way in which the teachers manage their students, and the overall culture of the school climate mm-hmm. is very important, very strongly connected right. to self-regulation skills.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen teachers who do a very nice job of doing exactly all this other stuff that we're talking about, mm-hmm. the appropriate modeling and the appropriate instruction and guidance to develop healthy self-regulation skills.
Right.
And then we've seen the opposite.
Right.
We've seen teachers who are just as temperamental as the kids
students,
that, yeah. that they're trying to instruct. And then that leads to problems.
Right. I'm working with a teacher now, and she has somehow managed to let her students manage things in the classroom. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she does it.
Right.
I don't know whether I need to videotape it or she needs to teach it to me. But somehow, if she's not there, her students take role, they get the assignment out, they mm-hmm. do their work. She doesn't need to be in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen her do this at the elementary level, the middle school level, and the high school level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and I've seen her do it in different schools, private schools, public schools. No matter where she is, she uses the same technique, and it seems to work with
yeah.
across ages and across buildings. I like schools and parents are similar
mm-hmm.
in that if you want children to learn, if you want children to self-regulate,
mm-hmm.
you have to give them the opportunity.
Right.
If you want to run your school like a prison, if you want mm-hmm. to run your home like a military base, like you have to follow orders, you have to do it this mm-hmm. way, my way or the highway,
yeah.
you're denying your children the opportunity to
right.
learn self-regulation, whether it's a school or a home.
Right.
So if you want your children to be able to self-regulate, you have to give them the opportunity to self-regulate, and you have to teach them that.
Mm-hmm.
You have
mm-hmm.
to teach them through modeling and talking
yeah.
How to self-regulate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now, over the course of the next couple of days, we're going to talk about self-regulation related to education
mm-hmm.
and emotional behavioral things. And then we're going to end the week with a, in the weekday
right.
podcast with a talk about some criticisms
mm-hmm.
for self-regulation. And
that was
pretty interesting stuff.
Right.
There's a lot more to come this
right.
week. So stay tuned, and we will be happy, very eager to talk about these
yeah,
things.
Really.
So, all right. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.